getting ready for the Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. We are sponsored today and every day by the law firm Condori and Murad.
Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration, their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
It is time for the Blitz. We'll be covering the teams in town you care the most over the next several minutes. Jam it all into one segment for you. Get you up to speed on everything going on in sports. We'll start you off on the hardwood. Bijan Todd covers the Wiz for Monumental Sports. Bijan, what'd you think of the trade for Trae Young?
I think they just bought low, guys. Like, you basically got a four-time All-Star in the middle of his prime for an expiring C.J. McCollum and Corey Kispert, who's on a decent deal. So if the Atlanta Hawks come calling with that offer, I think you pretty much have to take it at that price. Obviously, the Wizards would have wanted a draft pick to go along with taking on that salary, but I think if you can buy low on a guy who can be your point guard, at least for a little bit of next year, I think you have to take it. So buying low, I think, is smart, and then it just depends on what they want to do with his contract moving forward. But I like the move.
When will we see him on the court?
He was asked that, and Will Dawkins was asked that at the intro press conference last week, and basically they're going to take it conservatively because he's missed almost the entire year this year with an MCL thing and then a quad contusion. I wouldn't expect to see him back anytime over the next month-ish, but then after that, I think if the team wants to get a good look at him to determine whether or not they want to extend him or if he wants to opt into that player option after this year, I think we can see some minutes for him maybe into February and March, but it depends on how his rehab goes.
To what extent do you think this front office would go to protect their top eight protected pick?
You know, it's interesting because they obviously need that pick. I think it's no secret to anyone that they're, like, the entire rebuild doesn't necessarily hinge on them getting a high draft pick this upcoming summer. But if you lose that pick and you convey it to New York, then it really slows things down in terms of how quickly they're going to be ready to compete. So they're very aware of that, and they know they kind of have to play with one hand tied behind their back this year and make sure they get a bottom four record in order to retain that pick. So I think with that in mind, they're very aware of that, and they're definitely going to ensure that they get that pick. So I don't think the fans out there, you know, who are worried, oh, we're winning too much, we're going to lose that pick, I would not be worried about that. I think the organization is very aware that they have to retain that pick. So I think it's a non-starter, honestly.
So the upside for, you know, not having, you know, no C.J. McCollum, and in the interim, not as much Trae Young, is I get Trae Johnson with the basketball in his hands. And
your boy, favorite.
You know how excited I get about this. But I think in terms of his growth, I want a little playmaking. I want a little offensive initiation. I want him to make a few decisions here and there. And I know that they came in second to Phoenix. Wins and losses, no one you're concerned about. But watching him and Sar do some good things, Sar goes 19-15 the other night, I liked a little bit what I saw, and I want more of it.
And me too. And that's the thing, is that Trae Johnson, in the moments that he's gotten this season where he does have to play make and he has the ball in his hands before the Wizards get into their sets, he's done really well. And I tweeted something last night. If you watch Trae Johnson's tape against the Suns, even though they lost, every time he got the ball and he wanted to drive into the paint, he got to his spots and he made a lot of tough shots in the lane. So yeah, when Trae Young comes back and the two Trays can team up, it'll open up a lot of space for Trae Johnson and it can enable him to be more of a knockdown shooter from the outside. But hey, until that happens and the Wizards play without a true honest-to-God point guard in the starting lineup, then Trae Young can be one of those guys in addition to Keyshawn George and some other players who can take the ball handling reps and can do really well with it. And I agree with you, Danny. I've liked what I've seen so far on that end.
All right, so what's next then? As you said, no Trae Young in the short term. They play again in 2 days on Wednesday against the Clippers and then Friday out west against the Kings. Give us kind of the road ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think it's going to be interesting what they do with their starting lineups. I think we're going to see a lot of Bub Carrington getting more starters minutes going forward here. Keyshawn George is healthy now, so that's good. He's going to get starting minutes as well. Same with Koulibaly and Alex Sarr. So I think in terms of who's going to bring the ball up, Grant, I think we're going to see a lot more Keyshawn George. That's what we saw earlier this year when C.J. McCollum was injured and all that. Keyshawn George was the guy who brought the ball up and got the Wizards into their sets, and they ran pick and rolls through him. So if he's healthy, that's who we're going to see in the starting lineup. Bilal Koulibaly is going to hold it down on the defensive end, and then Alex Sarr is just going to continue making plays down low. So until Trae Young comes back, I think we're just going to see a flurry of young guys, and I think that's what the fans want. I think that's huge for their development. You need to get these guys sort of primed before they hit their stride next year and the year after.
Bijan, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks, guys. You too. Appreciate it.
See you, my friend. Hit that NFL sounder, please. Ian Harditz, Fantasy Life, joins us to go around the NFL. Ian, I want to start with that Green Bay game. How unforgivable is that end-of-game sequence there for Matt LaFleur and company?
Not ideal, man. I would like to say when your quarterback clears 300 and throws four touchdowns, you would like to think that would be enough to get it done. But it's the playoffs. You got two obviously awesome teams squaring off. You end up having those little differences. So I've been a little more team blaming on Brandon McManus missing three makeable field goals, you know, two and an extra point, I should say, than going too hard in the paint on Matt LaFleur. But certainly it wasn't great. I will say, though, do you guys see the end zone cam of that, like, I think second to last throw of the game? Because my goodness, man, Jordan Love tried to squeeze between about five defenders of Christian Watson, almost got it in there.
It was would have been an all-time throw. He was incredible, I thought, really, circuit to circuit. By the way, he deserved a better fate. You had a great stat earlier today I saw on Ramondre Stevenson, who I thought played his butt off for the Patriots last night in their win over the Chargers. I didn't realize how efficient he'd been this year.
Yeah, man, actually this season only three running backs averaging north of 6 yards per touch, Bijan Robinson, Devon Achane, and then Ramondre Stevenson. So I know some people will probably want to drag that, you know, dragon meme where two are looking real just nasty and one's looking like maybe they shouldn't be in the same argument. But, man, he really has picked it up particularly late. Same thing with Zach Charbonnet when you look at some of these stats where guys are, you know, breaking tackles at a high level. So I know both, you know, Ramondre and obviously Charbonnet have gotten some, you know, hate, particularly in these fantasy streets. So we just want to see Trayvon Henderson and Kenneth Walker get the football as much as possible. But both guys really haven't played nice football for the better part of the last few months.
I played AAU basketball forever ago in with a guy named Keith Bogans, who went and played in the NBA. And he was the best player on our team, as you could probably imagine. And so I remember getting an argument with a guy from another team. He's going, we can do this well. We do this. We do that. We do this. We do that. And I was like, that's awesome. We got Keith. You know what I mean? Like, everything they said made sense and was probably true, but we had Keith Bogans. That's how I feel like the Jacksonville Jaguars fans are arguing. But all the different things that they could do and how great the season was, that's adorable. Buffalo's got Josh Allen. Sorry.
By the way, that sounds like a time I played Le'Veon Bell in high school, and that dude ran for like 320
yards. Was he pretty good?
Yeah, it was freaking incredible, man. So thank God those days are over with, at least for me. But no, man, I'm 100% with you. Even doing like the picks for the Bills-Jags game last week, it came down to not even really picking the Bills. It was just picking Josh Allen. So obviously it was awesome. I will say, guys, as much as I have been keen, okay, you know, push. If you don't like it, you should stop it. I'm just a little bit tired of like these crucial fourth and one plays coming down to it, you know. So credit to the Bills, they're using their advantage and everything like that. Not blaming them, but man, there's just so many big fourth and one plays, and it's like, all right, let's see how hard Reggie Goin can shove Josh Allen. But obviously, you know, amazing job and just making do with this, you know, makeshift wide receiver room. It's made me laugh because the Bills have this, you know, everybody eats mantra, and like that sounds nice in theory, but it just more and more comes down to like, all right, Josh Allen or James Cook, please bail us out with a big play. And luckily, Josh was more than able to do that here last Sunday.
Ian Harditz, Beltway Blitz, Grant and Danny, talking NFL football. Of the five winners, who do you worry about as, like, warts getting exposed? Like, you won, but I don't know if I feel as good as I did before this started. So I'm going Rams, Bears, Bills, 49ers, Patriots.
Probably the 49ers, man. I just wonder if they have enough offensive firepower at this point. I mean, look, got the job done, but we knew that was a limited Eagles offense. And just still no Ricky Pearsall. I mean, Juwan Jennings had the great throw, but he's been a little bit hit or miss. And now you lose George Kittle from that equation as well. I mean, look, I've been a Brock Purdy defender over the years. I think some of the slander saying, he's just, you know, another Jimmy G. It doesn't add up. And you compare those stats, and like both guys are posting league best efficiency numbers, and Purdy's more mobile than Jimmy G's ever been. So, you know, again, I do think he is very much, you know, capable of being a franchise QB, but once you are going to start running into, you know, the Seattle Seahawks of the world, I just don't know if there's enough playmakers to really hold things up. Because that's the other thing, man. Christian McCaffrey, obviously incredible this year and what he's done as a receiver, but some of the worst rushing efficiency of his career, and I do think you see that exposed here in the next round.
Ian, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
Thanks, fellas.
We're going to do a cool move right here. We've got a very versatile gentleman with us who could talk about near anything. In fact, we heard him yelling out in the alleyway just now to a garbage dumpster who said we could use that on this show. Let's talk some puck, please.
Where was he?
Alleyway, just outside.
Out
so,
there?
Yeah, so we have soundproof glass here. You would have thought.
Wow.
Through the soundproof glass, he's going, I thought they were going. He's yelling at the dumpster, who Flashy. Did nothing wrong. It's yeah. Chris Russell.
What are you doing in the Navy Yard, bud?
I was dodging the trucks that all infiltrate the alleyway so that everybody gets into an accident every day.
Why can't the Capitals ever win two in a row?
It's a great question.
And by the way, they score first every single game.
Yeah,
they're always up, and it doesn't really mean anything.
Right. Little mistakes here and there. I mean, Nashville, obviously, after a brutal start, has come on. you know, here. So, you know, that's a tough spot. Lindgren in the pipes. They didn't play as great defensively as I would like them, you know, to play down the stretch last night. You know, not having Tom Wilson still is obviously a factor. I can't answer as to why they don't win back-to-backs other than, you know, there's a natural tendency, and I think this goes beyond the Capitals. I think this goes to all sports. When you win, you maybe mentally let off the gas pedal a little bit the next time out or the next night or whatever. When you lose, there's a sense of urgency, and I've always kind of preferred not to lose, but to have that sense of urgency, and it's real hard to get that sense of urgency every night, especially on the road.
So I was asked this today doing my little TV hit for DC News Now. Like, how worried are you about the Capitals? And my answer was, I'm not. It's about the midway point, and they just haven't been healthy. Yeah. And I think when Willie and Protas and Leonard and everyone that's been hurt, including, by the way, the entire PLD. Season without Pierre-Luc Dubois, when everyone's on the ice together, like, I think this is a better team and they'll string wins together. If they play like this all year, right now they're the last team in with two games in hand. They'd probably get bounced by like Pittsburgh when they even out games. They may or may not make the playoffs, but I think they'll get it together. So I ask you the same question.
I think they'll get it together as well. I don't know how soon Pierre-Luc Dubois can come back. It sounds like Tom Wilson is still very much day-to-day. They got Protas back maybe a little bit earlier than I thought. But you and I, we were talking on Wednesday night when we watched them lose to the Dallas Stars, a physical but fast team. Do they have that giddy-up? Do they have that extra gear? And the answer, probably injury or no injury, is probably no to go with some of the big boys. But if they can somehow catch a break and maybe Carolina fizzles out before they get to the Capitals, which they tend to do after they beat the Capitals, if Tampa has a bunch of injuries and maybe they kind of lower the bar a little bit, Florida's been banged up all year, although they'll get Tkachuk back pretty soon. Don't know about Barkov. Maybe they catch the right situation at the right time. That's about the only way I could see them making a real deep run, like a real appreciably deep run. Right now, like you said, they got to find a way to make the playoffs. And maybe one way to go about that, maybe, is just saying, you know what, after the winter break, after the Olympic break, maybe you rotate Charlie Lindgren and Logan Thompson a little bit. But when you get to, say, I don't know, March 1st-ish, March 15th-ish, you go all the time Logan Thompson, and you just say, that's our guy, and we're going to ride with that and see if that kickstarts things.
To be clear, you're not talking about our caller, Barkov and Gaithersburg.
You don't mean Barkov
and Gaithersburg. You're talking about Alexander Barkov.
Exactly.
I mean, he tore his ACL MCL in September.
I know.
I don't think he's playing again.
It's possible.
There's a pretty strong correlation to being bad at killing off penalties and being in last place. Yeah. That's the company the Caps are in. They're down there with Vancouver, with St. Louis, with Columbus, with Ottawa. Why is their penalty kill this bad? I get your power play. It's going to be stale. Everyone's old. And anytime they find something, it's now Leonard's hurt or whatever. But why is their penalty kill this bad?
Well, and it's a great question. I mean, obviously, Dubois is a part of that, right? Because he took on a big part of that role, you know, taking on faceoffs, being the top defensive center. So that's a big part of it. Then you lose Willie, who's obviously key on that. The other part of it is, even with Ferravari back, which he missed the playoffs, I don't know what the numbers are. I'd have to crunch them. I think when John Carlson's out on defense, especially on a power play, especially later in games and later in the season, I think he's kind of a weakness. And I think teams take advantage of that. And I hate to say that, because he's been such a great Capital and such a great player and a Stanley Cup champion, but I think they take advantage of that. And maybe that's too much on Carly, and certainly the blame goes to others, but I think that's a factor, along with Pierre-Luc Dubois and, of course, recently the last 2 weeks without Wilson.
Final year of an 8-year deal, $64 million.
Yeah.
He says...
Could be, what, 36?
He told me before training camp that he has no plans of stopping playing.
I know.
And that means they're going to give him a new deal, very likely, at the end of this year. Russell, thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
I appreciate you, guys.
All right, let's talk football. And to help us talk Commanders, you're not going to believe this, Danny. I just found this guy outside.
Who?
He was right out the window, screaming at a trash can.
What?
And I couldn't believe it. It's Chris Russell.
Ah!
What the heck are you doing in WGR? What are you doing, Rooster, in the Navy Yard?
Well, you know, again, was wandering around because I have nothing to do usually on Mondays. I'm done
with my... Is this when you record your podcast?
I know, I'm done with my podcast already.
Oh, you did
Fine
already.
Podcast, available on the Odyssey app, but not iHeartRadio, which I know makes you unhappy, Grant.
I don't know anything about iHeartRadio.
I know you don't.
Well,
why would you know anything about where our programming is available? Yeah.
So the thing
it doesn't say that on our checks.
Russell's doing the thing he does that drives me crazy, where he does inside jokes on the radio for everyone to hear that no one knows what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
So let me explain it to our listeners.
Hold on, guys. We have to explain
it. So let me explain the inside joke that Russell just brought to the air. The inside joke is Russell, when he resets on his podcast, says, you can listen to the show all over the Odyssey app, here, and on the iHeartRadio TuneIn app. You can also find us on Spotify. You can find us on
American
Flag Rap. I mean, he names every place where anyone's ever downloaded
audio. If you're driving by South Capitol Street with one of those parabolic microphones, you can hear it.
You can get us on iTunes. You can get us on Droid, Google
Stitch.
Play, Google, Amazon Alexa, also on, what's the other one? Not Amazon Alexa, but...
Spotify.
The Google one.
Google Chrome.
Google Podcasts.
Google.
I'm sorry for promoting the product.
I can get them on my Zoom.
On Zoom. There you go.
On Zoom.
I'll Zoom if you send me your email address. If you listen, the segment is mostly just where you can hear the show.
It's not true, but anyway, go ahead.
Any hoodles, Reno.
Any hoodles.
What'd you think of the David Blau hiring?
So I thought, wow, that ruined a lot of good days of radio, right? Speculation, rumors, whatever.
And
that
I sucks like seven more days of speculating.
Right. That sucks for us, right? Because it takes content off of our
That's
table.
That's a hilarious takeaway.
But that was my number one reaction on Friday night. Number two was, I like the hire because... I'm guessing Detroit was put in the hard press or maybe had an offer or whatever the case might be. So they were going to lose him. And I would rather take a chance on, and I know this is going to sound weird. I'd rather take a chance, if you're going to take a chance on a 30 or a 31-year-old that's never been a primary play caller, on a guy that's been in my building that I know implicitly that Jaden presumably likes and trusts, and he knows me and he knows us and he knows our personnel, than say a Grant Udinski, who is getting interviewed for head coaching positions now, but it's not called plays down in Jacksonville and is the same age. I would rather take the chance on somebody young that I have in my building that I know how he works and how he interacts. That being said, I do worry about fans of this team and media, but mostly fans, when they hit a 2 or 3 game dry stretch and things don't look great, and when you know it's coming at some point, whether it's early, late, middle, whatever, and they blame, oh, how could you hire a 30-year-old? Well, that was dumb. That's stupid. Or he doesn't know what he's doing, or he's overmatched. I know that's coming. I have to mentally prepare myself for it instead of allowing the kid, the guy, whatever, to grow into the job, which he should be afforded the opportunity to do so. So I like the move. It's just going to come with the inevitable easy, low-hanging fruit for the fans.
No, for sure. And speaking of in the building, I'm glad we got you inside, buddy.
Thank you, guys.
I'm glad.
I appreciate you. I'm always happy to see you.
Shelter, heat, all that good stuff.
I'm always happy
Welcome
to see
inside.
You.
Thank you, pal.
If you ever need anything in the building, just knock on the door. We'll bring you right out.
I grabbed a cup of hot tea on the way in.
Attaboy.
It's cold
just
out
like
there.
You were served by Clinton Portis in his house. I gave
Would you
hot
like
tea.
A spot of tea?
Clinton Portis did an interview with Russell and offered him hot tea. And then when Russell said something about him on the radio he didn't like, Portis came up to Russell in the locker room a couple days later and was like, I had you in my home.
And I gave you hot tea.
I offered you hot tea. And I just thought it was the funniest
That's
thing.
Hilarious.
It was so good.
Why would you say that? I gave you some lemon ginger tea.
In 35 minutes, you'll hear from Logan Paulson. Dropped a new episode of Take Command with him today, discussing the David Blau hire. He had some great insights on what it's like to build an offense, why this is a massive risk. Sounds like he's very nervous about going with a first-time OC, so you'll hear some of his analysis on that. Next, though, what we learned in the wild card round of the playoffs the last 2 days. This is The Fan. Thank you to Chris Russell and the crew from the Beltway Blitz. We appreciate their efforts as always. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. We are four quarters away from the end of the wild card round. One more game tonight. Texans-Steelers. There's no way that line is still 3 points, right? Like, I don't know what I don't know. But it does not feel like Houston should only be a three-point favorite over Pittsburgh.
Let me take a gander right here.
That is such an indictment against the Texans' offense if they're only favored by three. Because it just does not feel like Pittsburgh will be able to move the ball.
It looks like three. It's a three-point line still. What am I missing? It opened at 3.5, and it moved to three.
This is a game I want you to text me tonight. Any of you are welcome to send me a direct message on Instagram at some point and remind me as I close it on kickoff. Stay strong. Do not bet everything that you have on the Houston Texans to cover that number. Because this is one of those where I'm just so confident. I'm so sure.
This is why Kevin Sheehan invented the smell test.
It's not only that. It's why the buildings are big. It's why people like me lose all the money. Yeah. So, Russell, if you want to, Darius, anybody who wants to encourage me right before kickoff, generally within the 5 minutes before kickoff.
Because you're going
to
get that notification.
That's when I'm at my weakest.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm going to see that, I got a profit boost. Oh, man, let's go. It's going to get bad.
30% on your same game. Yeah.
I mean, I would bet anything on the Texans covering 3 points. Now, would I like 2.5? Yeah, sure. Of course.
Of course.
Because winning by a field goal is more fun. That's juicy if I get that half point. But I want to go around the horn here on the things that we learned watching wild card round football this weekend. I will start with it's happening. It's happening. Four down football, people. Going for fourth downs in minus territory, people. 13 of 26. A 50% clip in the NFL going for fourth downs this weekend. The dinosaurs were roaring. They were so upset. Ben Johnson, you cost your team the game. He's getting ready for another game. It'll be okay, people. 60 minutes of football. By the way, some of the logic sometimes on that minus territory thing that's very smart. If you don't trust your defense, the other team's going to score. If they score faster, it's better for you to get the ball back, especially last 4 minutes of a half, last 4 minutes of a game. But this thing on, it's happening, baby. If I was to tell you, Danny, you're going to play three downs of football, but I only get to play two, would you be more likely to win than me?
I'd feel better about my chances, yeah.
You know what works as well? Extrapolating that out. If I play four downs of offense at a time and you play three, the chances of who winning gets better?
The 4-3 guy.
Four. Ladies and gentlemen,
yeah.
It took until 2026, the year of our Lord. You're going to get a lot of, take the points. These stupid coaches need to get their three. Go for it. Four down football. Let's go.
Your expected points go up. Marty Schottenheimer, rest in peace, but he's rolling over, man.
I love Marty. I love Marty.
He would not be thriving in this era. I don't know.
By the way, Jim Harbaugh, taste it.
Mm.
I mean, who coaches more conservatively and old school than that guy? I actually was stunned when they went for that fourth down. Now, they didn't the rest of the game. They kept just, let's punt from the plus territory. We're at the plus 47. We need 3 yards. Let's punt. Just loser 5-yard delay of game penalties. Loser. Get a hot, 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 hot. Nothing. Hot, hot, hot. Kill. Hot, hot, hot. All right, where's my putter? Go for the first down and keep your offense on the field, you goose. Anyway.
I don't know why the Rams can't just step on someone's throat and finish them. This is what they do. I love this Rams team. They are so well built. They're the same team that had huge leads against Seattle. They're the same team that was absolutely better than Carolina. They're the same team that, you know, played around with its food and you know, ended up, you know, pulling away from the Cardinals at the end. But somehow, you're so good, but why aren't you playing good? Why do you let the other team back in the game somehow, some way? They're excellent. They can win the whole damn thing. And I also know that they survived a scare in the first round with a massive lead.
You feel worse about them?
It's hard to explain. Like, I called this. This was one in my confidence points. I think a lot of us had it. Carolina plus 10.5. Because the Rams don't just step on people's throats. They're so good. Everything that you would want in a football team, they got it. Veteran quarterback that can and does make every single throw. Multiple weapons on offense. Three-headed monster, and maybe four if you add Parkinson into that with the way he's come on. But running game, great receivers, great quarterback. A defense that pressures the opposing passer. Yes, yes, yes to all of it. And yet, there they are just going, I don't know if I want to eat this food. Should I eat it? I don't even know if I can build a fort. Just kill somebody because you can.
What I learned wild card round, the Eagles and A.J. Brown have to get a divorce.
Don't they?
It's just not going to work. A.J. Brown screaming at a coach in his face because the coach, who is pretty petulant and a silly goose in his own right, is running down the field to yell to get him off the field, which in that moment, not a problem. Brown goes 3 for 25, 7 targets, 2 bad drops, doesn't talk to the media after the game, throws another fit, does his normal thing. You can get something for him. Now, they can't cut him. They shouldn't cut him. I think it would be, I saw somewhere like $86 million in dead money. Again, it shouldn't even be a consideration. You wouldn't cut him. But couldn't they get a draft pick haul for A.J. Brown? Don't you think there are 10 to 15 teams that would move mountains to bring in A.J. Brown? I'm going to say something stupid. I think they'll get a first-round pick for A.J. Brown. Couldn't they? I mean, he's a top three receiver.
I'm always surprised. Who knows?
He's literally a top three receiver in the NFL when everything's 72 and sunny.
Hmm.
I know they could get, like,
do you think post-George Pickens, even though there was dramatics there, but, you know, Pickens was incredible for Dallas, and he was viewed as a problem
exactly.
child. Do you think that maybe makes someone go, you know what, we can't afford to miss out on this?
A.J. Brown is the OG of this, by the way.
Right.
The Eagles went and got him. People were like, I don't know about that. They won a Super Bowl thanks to him, largely because of him. Now, eventually it went bad, but I think you would take the last couple years if you're Philly, wouldn't you?
I would say so.
So, but yes, I think the Pickens thing could be a factor here. But I don't see a path forward for Brown in Philly. It doesn't make sense. You don't throw it to your receivers enough. You don't work the middle of the field enough. I think your quarterback's strengths do not mesh with his enough in terms of being a passer in the pocket. It's just a bad marriage. I would trade him for the picks I could get and try to find a better fit.
I am wildly impressed with this Jacksonville Jaguars operation. Liam Cohen, despite Duval, how weird that all was, their little swoon in the middle of the season, all they were is really good. Designing offenses, getting Travis Etienne, Parker Washington, a touchdown for Brian Thomas, what a disappointing year. Doesn't matter. They have a complete roster. They are good. They are for real. He's got Trevor Lawrence playing the best football of his career. The thing that I asked for, we just kept assuming Trevor Lawrence was good despite him not really playing all that great. Now he did this year. Now you feel good if you're a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. Here's what happened. They got Josh Allen. It showed you the power when you have one of these superhumans. Not everybody gets to do it every year, right? There are some years where you've been that. Maybe you're beat up. You're not quite that. Think of Pat Mahomes this year in Kansas City. Couldn't Superman his team to a championship. Same with Lamar Jackson. Didn't have a great season in Baltimore. Same with Joe Burrow with injuries and the like. Some years you can't do it. But when somebody's right and you've got a pretty pedestrian supporting cast, Josh Allen put the team on his back, though. And now they're moving on to the next round despite 1 through 52 being worse than Jacksonville. But that one guy is so special.
Patriots corner Christian Gonzalez is incredible. The brother-in-law of new Commanders offensive coordinator David Blau, by the way. Christian Gonzalez is going to be the best corner in the NFL for years to come. We could talk, if we want to, about how Washington passed on him for Emmanuel Forbes.
We could get Forbes there really quick.
We've beaten that horse pretty good, I think, as it's laying there keeled over. But I'll let that slide for a second. Here's the point, though. New England needs him moving forward. You know he's in the concussion protocol. So if you look him up, you go, did he play? He didn't play in the game. Yes, he did. He just didn't allow any catches, so he didn't make any tackles. You have to go to the passes broken up section. There are multiple of those. Two passes defended. But at the very end of the game, he went down hard on his head, left with a concussion. He's in the protocol. I don't know if they're going to play the Steelers or the Texans. Nico Collins, DK Metcalf, doesn't really matter. With or without Gonzalez, I think very, very different for this defense. Because they looked like a Super Bowl caliber, elite level, top five, top 10 defense. That's not really what they were all year. They had a hell of a plan. They decimated a terrible offensive line with blitzes. They're not going to shove it on teams like they shoved it on the Chargers. But if they have Gonzalez, they could at least be good enough to survive an okay offensive performance. Most of the year, it was their offense carrying their defense. They got to get Gonzalez on the field.
That should be enough. That'll just about do it. Let's wrap it up here. Let's finish the novel, send it to the publisher for final edits on the offensive coordinator tenure of Greg Roman. Thanks. I've seen it. The league went over there, and you are over here. It's a different place and a different time. There is a college program that needs to try to find a way to compete with better athletes, doesn't have athletes that the other team does. You should go there and be an offensive coordinator at Stanford or at Cal or someplace like that. Enough. I can't see it anymore. Now, it's not all his fault. He couldn't play offensive line for the most beat-up offensive line in the sport, that is the Chargers. I just know that it was very easy to cover every single person that they had on that roster. It looked like no ingenuity, no design, no adjustments, no counters. It was, hey, Justin, Herbert, good luck, dude. I don't know either. Try to make something happen. Okay, bye. Gross. Awful enough.
Caleb Williams is exactly kind of what we assessed him to be throughout the year. The point I made, and I gave someone else credit, I don't remember who said this, but like he is a 6 out of 10. Most people that are a 6 out of 10 do it by getting a lot of 5s, 6s, and 7s in terms of performances. He does it by getting a bunch of 3s and a bunch of 9s like on his throws over the course of the game. This game was that. He misses so many throws. He does so many things that make you want to pull your hair out. Every game, it feels like he's around 50% passing the entire game. He finished 24 of 48, by the way. But my God, does he make outrageous plays that like maybe two or three other guys on the planet can make. I don't even know who they are. He is the shortstop who makes 3 gold glove caliber. How did you do that? That shouldn't have been an out play.
And punts the room service 3 hopper.
Constantly boots the ball that 2 hops right at him. And he did it in this game. But that 3rd and 8 The 4th and 8 conversion.
My God.
Rolling to his left, lobbed over multiple levels in a layered throw. I'm not doing a bit. That's one of the most, because of the stakes, it's one of the most impressive throws I've ever seen. I mean, it was unbelievable.
It was, we don't have good enough words for it. I mean, we've seen Eli Manning make a throw like that. Was it DeMario Manningham down the sideline where it was perfect and incredible? We've seen great throws. Moving to your left while being harassed, throwing, as you said, like a shortstop sprinting left that you don't have your full body into the throw to be able to move one way, almost throw against your body, kind of half jump throw in the air to layer it with enough pep to get it over and yet under the defender, you know, that's behind. That's one of the great throws I've ever seen in my life.
Do you think
do that in your backyard?
Do you think he ever makes all his layups? Or is this what he's going to be?
I think he'll make more layups as he goes.
He will. Well, if that happens, he's going to become a superstar.
Yeah.
I mean, he is on a trajectory to being like a top 5, top 7 quarterback.
I think he'll always frustrate because there are going to be layups that he leaves bricked, right, or whatever. But
that's what I wonder is if he's always going to be a guy that misses easy throws, then I don't think you can really be like top shelf. You know what I mean?
Yep.
To get to that level, everybody misses throws. I'm not saying you never miss a throw. I'm saying if he's going to be a guy that regularly misses me, you go, come on, Caleb. Like, there's 8 of those a game, it feels like. If you could get that down to 2 or 3,
yep.
Now we're cooking. But, man, did he make some huge plays in that comeback win. All right, what did you guys learn over 5 football games so far? 1 more to go in the wild card round tonight. We'll open up the phones for you at 800-636-1067. Next, talking David Blau as the OC of the Commanders in 20 minutes at 5 o'clock. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Just went through some of the things we learned in the wild card round of the NFL playoffs. We are going to get back into the David Blau hiring by the Commanders, top of the hour. Want to let you hear some of what Logan Paulson said on a new episode of Take Command. I think it's a little nerdy, deep dive insight analysis stuff, but it's frankly the stuff we love on this show.
Yeah.
But it was a really, I thought, a good conversation with him talking about designing an offense, how he might pull from O'Connell versus Shanahan versus Ben Johnson. It should be kind of must listen, appointment listening, I think, if you're into offensive design and football and the direction here for the Commanders. So we'll play some of that coming up at 5 o'clock here on The Fan. But I want to go around the horn with our producers really quickly. What did you learn in the NFL wild card round? We'll see if we agree or disagree with what you guys got. So why don't we start with you, Toby?
I know we always like to dismiss the team that gets in with a losing record and it's lame and they have a home game and all this. 80% clip, it's a one-score game or they win. 2010 Seahawks, they won. Remember the Beast Quake? They beat New Orleans. You have the 2014 Panthers. They lost, but it was a close football game. They won their game 27-16. Washington football team, we remember the Taylor Heineke magic. That was a one-score game. The lone exception was the Buccaneers in 2022 got blown out by the Cowboys 31-14, but the Panthers put up a valiant fight. Probably should have won that game against the Rams. We always dismiss that team that gets in. It's not going to be fun. It's going to be a good football game 80% of the time.
It's a good point.
Yeah, I'll take it.
I mentioned this week, I think the last 3 teams with point differentials as bad as Carolina's, to your point, won straight up. Money line winners in round one. And they just about did. They took 2 fourth quarter leads over the Rams.
I just would have a very simple adjustment and tweak. I think a lot of that's because they get a home game. You're a sub 500 division winner and you get a home game. I would remove that. I would say you should still make the postseason, but you get bumped to the back of the queue. You should not be hosting a home playoff game at 8-9.
I'm going to write that down because I actually want to talk more about that tomorrow. I think that's a great topic. All right, Clary, what'd you learn? Wild card round.
What I learned this past weekend is that good coaching can outweigh injuries. I looked what Kyle Shanahan did on the road in Philadelphia. You have a Trent Williams who's banged up. You lost George Kittle in that game. You've had literally, I believe, 8 starting linebackers this season on top of all the other injuries that they have had. They still win the game. I think that they are a real Super Bowl contender at this point. And if you have the right coach, then you can get far. No excuses.
I don't know how they beat Seattle. But I'm with you in that, first of all, I'm going to be rooting like heck for them. If they can get past Seattle, I'll pick them to beat the Rams or the Bears. I just think Seattle's a buzzsaw. I was looking at it yesterday, and I'm like, why didn't I put a ticket in on the Seahawks getting to the Super Bowl? I mean, they just pummeled the Niners, who they're playing again. And I think the Niners got screwed again. Short week, travel to the Pacific Northwest. I know they're already on the West Coast. But you played on Sunday afternoon. Now you're playing that Saturday game, just like when they played Seattle last time,
yep,
having to travel. It's a bad matchup for them.
No opinion. George Kittle for me makes it so that I don't think they can do it anymore. I mean, I really do. I think he's that big of a difference maker, especially for that offense.
It's Mike like McDonald's also shoved Kyle into a locker a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, again, but to me, what Ryan said rings very true. And it was my point a couple weeks ago. Of course, everyone got mad because I sort of was like, hey, look at Washington. I get not being as good, but you shouldn't be this terrible. And, you know, that's kind of my point is they've had it worse than Washington has, quite frankly, injury-wise. They're missing all pros. We're missing, like, Dietrich Wise. We're like, we can't survive without Dietrich Wise. They're like, that's cool. Hall of Famer Nick Bosa with Hall of Famer Fred Warner. We lost George Kittle. We've lost every lineman is banged up. We have, like, 7 healthy dudes. Our quarterback was hurt for a bunch.
Never had their wide receiver one.
Yeah, $30 million against the cap, never played for us. We're playing for the one seed, and now they've gone on the road meeting Philadelphia.
Darius, what'd you learn?
I learned that the Eagles were foolish by resting their starters in week 18 because they should have known better that they don't beat Brock Purdy if Brock Purdy finishes the game. Brock Purdy's 2-0 when he finishes the game against him. The only time he's lost is the one time where they happen to bump into his elbow and tear his UCL.
It was so odd to me that they were not interested in avoiding that team, you know, San Francisco, that matchup, just wanting to possibly have a second home playoff game. And they're like, nah, we're good. Thanks. Let's go to Shane, who's in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. Shane, what'd you learn this weekend?
Commander Danny, Lieutenant Grant, how y'all boys doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, look, I learned that the Panthers are for real. Like, the Panthers are here to play football, and they're coming to the party, and they're not just, they're bringing stuff to it. So the Panthers are for real. I was shocked how good the Panthers played. And they're young and good for Bryce Young, right? You know, he had that everybody's doubting him, but good for him. Hey, another thing too, Lieutenant Grant. You know what? Ben Johnson, that whole you know what? He did the right thing. I would have done the same right thing. It's a robbery. They was talking smack. He just got his ass kicked, so I wouldn't shake his hand either. That's what it's all about. It reminds me of Steve Spurrier and Philip Fulmer back in the day. Them two hated each other. That's what it's about, that rivalry, that hatred. That we need more of that. That's what we want.
It is entertaining, I'll tell you that.
Rivalries. Sports rivalries kind of make the thing work.
Mm-hmm.
I think you can have a rival and hate a program and still be classy and respectful. I think you could do both of those. I will not get behind this idea, though, as much as I'm decorum guy. I'm don't curse at your press conference guy. I talk all the time. Coaches and on the field dropping an F-bomb. It's ridiculous. This is not hypocritical. It's time and place. Like, he's in the locker room addressing his team. If you want a camera in there to hear what he's saying, you don't get to be upset when he says bleep the Packers.
Yep.
I think that is a ridiculous take that a lot of people have had. All right, next, what does Logan Paulson think about the David Blough hire? Nobody knows more about the offense they've been running, the offense they might now run, than he does. We'll get a deep dive on that next on G&D.